Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, if they did love, gets on my side, we're gonna rock this town alive. I let her rub me up till she knocks me out. Cause she walks like she talks, like she talks, like she walks. And she bangs, baby, when she moves, she moves.
Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer is now calling on the Pensacola City Council to cancel the Christmas-themed drag show scheduled for the Sanger Theater next month. In a letter to the city council and the mayor's office, Uthmeyer wrote in part, quoting here, 2 days before Christmas, Pensacola will host a demonic, sexually explicit drag show at the city-owned Sanger Theater. Pensacola shouldn't platform obscenities that denigrate its residents and expose kids to harmful content, unquote. We've got Uthmeyer's full letter for you on our website. City Council President Jared Moore says he has directed staff to prepare a meeting about the letter so the council can engage in a formal discussion with the mayor.
Oh, good times, good times. All right, so the Attorney General writes an opinion piece on his own letterhead, and more on the legal standing of this opinion piece in just a moment. But what does the letter actually say? Well, let's read. Pensacola, dear Pensacola City Council members, Pensacola boasts a special place in Florida's history and heritage, the gateway to the Gulf Coast and the cradle of naval aviation. It has long been a standard bearer of North Florida values. But recently, Pensacola has made the news for all the wrong reasons. I've learned... how? More on that in a moment. I've learned that Pensacola's Sanger Theater will be hosting a Drag Queen Christmas on December 23rd this year. This annual drag show openly mocks one of our most sacred holidays in the Christian faith. It has been referred to as a part of the Naughty Tour, where men masquerading as women claim to put the ho-ho-ho into the holidays. A previous... it makes me laugh, sorry. A previous production... how dare you, Andrew? Well... we have different sensibilities. A previous production featured a male performer boasting the stage name Trinity the Tuck Taylor, a not-so-subtle stab at the fundamental doctrine of Christianity. This, I almost feel like between every sentence I need to push my glasses up on my nose a little farther. This year's show includes a male, pushing my glasses up, performer known as the Demon Queen of Seattle. I don't think James Uthmeyer wears glasses, which is why it's funny. Lauded for his demon-inspired kink-positive costume. And all footnoted, or G-string noted. I don't know what the right phrase is here. Anyway, one male performer knows as Susie Toot is referred to as the demonic Betty Boop. Isn't it Betty Boop? Anyway, typo. And another known as Crystal Method dresses up as the devil to make satanic imagery glamorous and beautiful. Curtains up on this openly anti-Christian show at the Sanger Theater will occur just 2 days before Christmas. What's more, it will be playing in the middle of downtown. Like, right there on Palafox? Like, in the middle of the street? In the middle of downtown at the same time as Pensacola's family-friendly Winterfest. So while Pensacola children are taking pictures with Santa, men dressed as garish women in demonic costumes will be engaged in obscene behavior mere feet away. Or behind several layers of doors in the ticket agent inside a theater in a completely different place besides out on the street where Winterfest is taking place. But, you know, not to quibble over the details. and then he goes on. There's an abundance of this is about the Sanger and the contractual obligations with Legends Global and whether they are or not in breach. He thinks that they would not be in breach. I am not a contract lawyer, so I'm not going to get into all of that. Suffice it to say that the city attorney, whose job is actually to figure these things out, says that we would be in breach and we'd be subject to a lawsuit under the First and 14th Amendments if we stop this show, as he's said many times. Adam Cobb, I think he will say that again if they have a meeting this week. Let's see. Finally, I agree that the city can cancel the event under the sole basis it has articulated that this event would be injurious to the public health, safety, or general welfare of the community. There's no question this event meets that standard, as seen by the public outrage at recent city council meetings and online. Yeah, but there's other sides, too. It's not all outrage. Pensacola residents categorically reject it. That's not true. There are people who support this show. There are other people who do not like the show but think that it should be allowed. That's me. So it is not true that we categorically reject this show's content. That's just false. The word categorically means that as a category, Pensacola rejects it. That's a lie. Unless he doesn't know, in which case he shouldn't be writing the letter, but it's either an error or a lie. Anyway, reject this show's content as a threat to the moral fabric and general welfare of the community. And given this obscene event's proximity to Pensacola's children enjoying Winterfest, the show poses pronounced threats to the health, safety, and welfare of children, contrary to the city's stated position to date. The terms of the contract provide the city unfettered discretion. Unfettered? Wow, it's almost like we don't even have a First Amendment. To review and approve content shown at the... Unfettered means no limits, right? So there is no threat of a meaningful First Amendment challenge to the show's cancellation. While the First Amendment safeguards freedom of expression, it does not require a city to platform and endorse disgusting, obscene content that denigrates its residents' religious beliefs. Well, obscene? It does not. Something that denigrates religious beliefs? It does. Permitting a drag show at a city-owned theater that openly disparages Christian beliefs. Aha! Here we go. It's anti-Christian. Therefore, is not only an affront to your Christian residents, all capitalized, of course, but it may be subject the city to further legal scrutiny. Uh-oh. Oh. If we allow it now, they're going to scrutinize us. Permitting a drag show at a city-owned theater that openly disparages Christian beliefs is not only an affront to Christian residents, but it may subject the city to further legal scrutiny. Such city-sanctioned religious mockery may amount to religious discrimination. John, do you feel discriminated against on this? You don't have to like it.
Right.
Does it constitute religious discrimination? You think it does?
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you feel discriminated against that they're allowing this?
No.
Like by the city. Is the city stifling your ability to practice your religion?
No.
They're saying something offensive, or they're allowing something offensive to be said.
Yeah.
That's different. Let's see. Where is it? It likewise could constitute a public nuisance. And were any of these deranged performers to expose themselves to the kids innocently enjoying Christmas festivities near the Sanger Theater, the city could share in liability resulting from charges of obscenity or lewd or lascivious exhibition. The risks are too significant, the outcry too pronounced, and the solution too apparent. You can, and you should, cancel this obscene anti-religious drag show. The show's content is designed to inflame religious strife. Its timing is intentional. Its proximity to children is unacceptably problematic. Failure to stop this sacrilege and misuse of public funds raises serious concerns about the city's stewardship of public property. Do the right thing. Sincerely, James Othmeyer, Attorney General. Copy, Mayor D.C. Reeves. Thoughts in a moment. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Okay, if you're on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Pine Forest, starting to see some delays in that area. Also, Highway 29 southbound as you approach Kingsfield Road, seeing some delays there. Let's see here. Highway 90 is looking good. Highway 29, other than the other issue, is flowing. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the James Othmeyer very strongly worded opinion, small o. This is not an opinion of the Attorney General. This does not carry any legal weight from his office, even though it's on his stationery, which is fine. The Attorney General can weigh in. The governor can weigh in. The dog catcher of Miami Broward can weigh in. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything legally, and that's the point. Interestingly, good note, PNJ picked up on this, that the day before the Pensacola show, as in 3 days before Christmas, a drag queen Christmas is playing at the Mahaffey Theater in St. Petersburg. No letter written to the city to cancel that show at the city-owned theater. Same show, day before. Well, maybe 3 days before Christmas is fine. Not 2 days before Christmas. The letter doesn't indemnify the city. The letter doesn't offer to indemnify the city. The letter, if anything, it sort of hints vaguely at a threat that if the city allows this, it might face its own legal scrutiny. But I would say, look, if this grounds is so solid, if the thing is so obscene, if the thing is so anti-religious and, defamatory or discriminatory against people who believe in Christianity, then have the Attorney General say, look, we'll cover your legal fees, we'll indemnify the city, the state will protect you if you cancel this. He did not offer that in the letter. Also, you would think that for something that the city attorney thinks is a violation of the First and 14th Amendments and would get the city sued, you would think that James Othmeyer would offer, Supreme Court opinions as a reference to justify the claim that shutting down a performance on the basis that it is anti-Christian sacrilege is legal. He doesn't offer that. He offers lots of justification for his claims about the contract. Not a peep about whether it is any legal precedent to justify that position. And also, it's not an order. It's not the Attorney General is not saying you have to. He's sternly asking. Now, I have a theory about this letter. You ready? My theory about this letter is, where did the letter come from? I don't have evidence for this theory. This is speculation on my part. But I have a theory. My theory is this. I think that James Uthmeyer did not come to this passionate conclusion about the Drag Queen Christmas on his own accord. I think that somebody called him and said, bro, write me a letter. And I think that person was Zach Smith, the Board of Trustees member for PSC and UWF. I don't have any evidence that Zach Smith did this. But it's weirdly similar to all the things that Zach Smith has been writing for the Daily Signal, the publishing online arm of the Heritage Foundation. And it takes all of his arguments for granted. And Zach Smith has been one of the primary instigators of all of this in writing repeatedly for the Daily Signal about this subject. And in other forums, it seems to be picked up. And I don't know. Some of them are anonymous. I don't know if it's Zach Smith or not. But he's really into this issue. And, you know, you might say, well, Andrew, you're really into okay, yeah, you know, it's a become a thing. And all these pastors and all of these Christians are worked up showing up and, you know, some on the other side as well. So that's my theory. And when I ask people who sort of know these things, I said, where do you think Zach Smith picked up the phone and called the governor's office? Because the governor likes Zach because Zach got appointed by the governor to both of these boards. And he's passionate about this issue, and he's been kind of working behind the scenes as much as he can to, you know, gin up this controversy. Do you think that Zach Smith wrote a letter to James Uthmeyer? The answer I got was 100%. So, again, speculation. Speculation only. No evidence. And I guess I could do a public records request for the attorney general, and but based on past public records requests for the governor's office in general or any of them, I, you know, how soon would I get that? I don't know. So, you know, I could ask Zach, but I don't think I've ever met him. So, just a thought, you know, this seems like something else. So what will the city do? The city's going to maybe convene a special meeting to talk about the scary letter from the attorney general. But still, Adam Cobb is still the attorney of record who has primarily got the responsibility for knowing how the law applies to the city and what the contracts are for the city. And I strongly suspect that nothing has changed. And that he will say the exact same thing when they talk about it this week. Oh, by the way, is bawdy lampooning, irreverent mocking of Christianity the same as persecution? The answer is no. It's not the same as persecution. So, you know, what do I think this is? I think it's a campaign stunt orchestrated by, you know, one person. And it's going to be of benefit to the other guy who's running for attorney general next year and is hoping to get, you know, elected the to the position that he's got appointed to. 4-3-7-16-20. Let's see. If you like it, don't look. These are texts I'm getting in. 4-3-7-16-20. I don't understand what's so hard about this. Nobody's forcing anyone to go to the show. I don't have to like fans of Alabama, but I have to tolerate them. 2 days before. No, 3 days before. That's cool. Yeah, not exactly. Right. That's he's joking. I'm impressed how much research was done about each drag queen for that letter. Sounded like a show lineup description promotional. And again, that's sort of been said a lot, but it's worth saying again that there has never been so much promotion by adverse treatment of this show than this one has gotten. So, and, you know, there are other drag shows at the Sanger, by the way. 7:23 on news. Oh, would it be like all drag shows in Florida? Are all is it only the ones not near Christmas? Is it only the blasphemy stuff? Like, you know, what exactly is going to be the statewide screening criteria that we're going to use to make sure that no Christians get offended by what goes on at a local theater? Because that's what it sounds like they want. I mean, I know that's what some want, but that's what it sounds like the AG wants. 7:23 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Often the most unhealthy part of a person is their mind. People fantasize about life with a different spouse, or they entertain negative thoughts that often lead to depression, or some people think of themselves more highly than they ought. After all, no one knows what you're thinking unless you tell them. It's easy to keep secret the bad habits of the mind. Did you know that 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ? Beware of thinking on things that inhibit your spiritual growth or undermine your relationship with others. Instead, capture your thoughts and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You'll be glad you did, and so will the people in your life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
You're at the age you're ready to retire, but you're probably considering downsizing. You've worked hard all your life, and now it's time for you. It's time for you to enjoy your time. But where? There are many choices when it comes to a retirement community, but there's one you'll want to know more about. Tune in today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as Tranquil Villas and Myrtle Grove Villas will be the guests to discuss all the great reasons to consider retiring in the place.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
This holiday season, whether you're shopping for clients, coworkers, or loved ones, Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze makes gift-giving easy and memorable. From custom apparel and drinkware to unique holiday gifts and decor, you'll find the perfect way to show your appreciation and spread cheer. Make your gifts stand out with personal touches and professional quality, all from your local experts at Prim and Proper. Visit them at 336 Gulf Breeze Parkway or primandproper.com.
Open enrollment is here, and this year you can enroll in a Florida Blue plan and get exclusive support from an approved Florida Blue agent. Affiliated Insurance wants to help you find a health plan that's right for you and meets your needs, not theirs. Make enrollment hassle-free this year by calling 850-477-5840. Again, that's 850-477-5840, and make that appointment with your local Florida Blue agent today. Policies have limitation health insurance from Blue Cross Blue Shield Florida Incorporated, BVA Florida Blue.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, let's talk about the best places to catch holiday lights, what you can do to help visitors with the Visit Pensacola app, and how to show Thanksgiving the way to beach.
Thursday at 10, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Pain does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, Sensei!
Defeat does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, Sensei!
Good morning, 7:26, almost 7:27 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Yes, Sensei. Oh, sorry. I'm still in.
Pain does not exist in this studio.
No,
does it?
Sensei.
There you go.
Okay.
Well done.
Feel better now. All right. So it's brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Still rolling accident free right now, but if you're on I-10 eastbound, between 9 Mile and Highway 29, we're starting to see those delays again for the construction congestion. And also Highway 29 southbound, just south of 10 Mile Road, approaching 9 Mile Road, seeing delays there. And also Highway 90 southbound as you're coming into Pensacola, about a 5 to 7 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Speak first, speak hard, have mercy.
Oh, I'm having like flashbacks.
All right. That's the way I operate. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, flight disruptions continuing today across the U.S. Related to the government shutdown. The FAA, of course, has been cutting flights since Friday due to staffing shortages nationwide, about 3,200 cancellations and 10,000 delays over the weekend. And this morning, 1,400 cancellations and 700 delays. Of course, the big airports, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, the hardest hit. Locally, we are seeing some arrivals from Atlanta, Houston, Orlando, LaGuardia, New York, and departures to Miami and Nashville delayed, but no cancellations at the moment. The Supreme Court will be hearing oral arguments today in the case of a Louisiana man that had his hair forcibly shaved by prison officials. Damon Lanzer insists that dreadlocks are a part of his religion. Mm-hmm. His lawyers are pointing to a federal law saying lockups cannot have policies that put a burden on religious exercise. And bad news for Thanksgiving. Turkey prices are going to be up 40% this year thanks to bird flu. The Farm Bureau reports that there were more than 600,000 cases in September, and that number is expected to grow. Average cost of a turkey will be up $1.32 per pound. It will be $1.32 per pound, up 38 cents from last year.
Good Lord, that's still super expensive. Yeah. Okay, all right, David, thanks so much for the update. Well, you know what they need to do with all these sick turkeys is give them some chicken noodle soup, which will help them be... Okay, we'll just move on.
Al Borland here. I don't think so, Andrew.
Nice. I don't think so, Andrew. All right. Hey, speaking of nothing related to turkeys whatsoever, if you need to do a home improvement project, you need to fix something around the house, you want to do a remodel or a repair, or you just want to fiddle around, you want to look at some cool tools, Pensacola Hardware. Speaking of tools, see what I did there? Okay. All right. Pensacola Hardware has a great selection of good quality tools. And, I mean, really the best stuff. Like, that's what they specialize in, is having the best. And also having the greatest advice, because these people live the lifestyle of home improvement and construction. They're your construction supply business. If you build things for a living, they're your people. They know how to do it. They can talk your language. You won't have to, you know, go with some translator to help them figure out what you're trying to ask them, like often happens at a hardware store. No, they get it. They've been doing this for 174 years. The oldest business in the entire state of Florida, one of the 50 oldest in the country. It's Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851. Jimmy Petronis is up next.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Pathway to an agreement.
The end of the government shutdown is finally in sight.
Wyoming Republican Senator, that's John Barrasso, earlier on Fox and Friends, after 8 Democrats break with fellow party members in the Senate.
The move would reopen the government under a deal which includes spending enough money to keep the government running until the end of January. It would fund SNAP benefits, federal workers would get their back pay, and the Senate would have a vote next month on whether or not to refund Obamacare subsidies.
Fox's Mark Meredith of the White House, independent senator from Vermont, Bernie Sanders, called it a very, very, very bad vote. The Senate will discuss it more today. Could go to the House by Wednesday. Secretary of War, that's Pete Hegseth, reports 6 people are killed in strikes Sunday on 2 alleged drug-carrying vessels in the Eastern Pacific. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31. News Radio 92.3. We've got 41 degrees right now with clear skies. Tragic update on that fire on Flaxman, where 2 kids and a dog died last week. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says the kids were not killed by the fire. Investigators believe the 7-year-old girl was sexually assaulted, then both were killed by 27-year-old Josh Waltzon.
I don't know what else I can say about this terrible event, except for please, hug your children.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, those kids were reportedly spending the night at Walston's trailer when this happened. Investigators say after killing the children, Walston set the trailer on fire and saved himself. He's now charged with premeditated murder, sexual battery, arson, and animal abuse. Walston's being held without bond at the Escambia County Jail. NASA has delayed the launch of 2 Mars probes due to bad weather at Cape Canaveral. Blue Origin, which is using its new Glenn rocket to launch the probes into space, made that call over the weekend. Their next launch window is set for Wednesday. The twin probes are designed to orbit Mars and study the atmosphere. A child's dead after a shooting in Leon County. The sheriff's office says a 3-year-old boy was shot yesterday morning. So far, no arrest has been announced. There is no word what led to that shooting. A Miami-Dade Sheriff's Office deputy being remembered as a homegrown hero. That's according to Sheriff Rosie Cordero Stutz. She went to a vigil yesterday for Deputy Devin Jaramillo. The 27-year-old was shot while on duty in Kendall on Friday. He was responding to a traffic crash when he was attacked by a suspect who took his service weapon and shot him. The 21-year-old suspect then took his own life. The Alabama Port Authority in Mobile has announced plans for a $131 million expansion. According to the Business Journal, the plan calls for the APM terminals to build a new 1,300-foot container berth, which will allow the Port of Mobile to accommodate 3 large shipping container vessels simultaneously. That construction project is expected to take about 2 years to complete. The FBI investigating the death of a Florida teenager. The 18-year-old died while on the Carnival Horizon cruise ship, which was docked at Port Miami on Saturday. So far, not a lot of details have been released. Family members tell ABC News the girl's name was Anna Kepner. She was from Brevard County. It's 7:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to have a breezy and chilly day today, starting off in the 40s with highs in the 50s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping at or below freezing near 30 degrees. For your Veterans Day Tuesday, 55 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 43. Going into Wednesday, we will start to warm up, mostly sunny skies, high near 71, and low Wednesday night near 54. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 41 in Pensacola, 41 also in Gulf Breeze and Milton. Our next news in 30 minutes, breaking news anytime. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. They have joined Russell Landscape Group, combining trusted local service with regional strength to deliver exceptional landscape construction and maintenance across the Gulf Coast. Call 770-446-3552. Still rolling accident-free right now, but we're seeing some delays on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Expect about a 12 to 15-minute delay. Also, Highway 90 southbound as you're approaching Pensacola. See about a 10 to 12-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. 735 at News Radio 92.3. Our next news at 8. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Just about every car maker out there is working on some sort of next generation battery technology that would revolutionize electric vehicles. Nissan may win that race. Japan's largest news service reports that Nissan has created battery prototypes which would double current driving ranges for EVs. That's thanks to developments with solid-state batteries. They're lighter, more durable, and use fewer exotic materials to produce. They're warning of a goods recession at America's ports. That's because import volumes are expected to slow through the holidays and into next year. Everybody's worried about the impact of tariffs, and nobody knows just how much consumers have left to spend. A new report shows the U.S. imported less in October than in September, just the second time that's happened in the last decade. Meanwhile, on Wall Street, no talk of a recession. They're buying this morning, thanks to Congress starting the legislative process to end the shutdown. Futures are sharply higher. That's Your Money Now.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Good morning. It's Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News and it's News Radio 92.3. Jimmy Petronas is on the line with us, and we have a lot of news to get to. Jimmy, welcome back to Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, the Senate. Cold. I'm sorry, what?
it's going to get cold.
Yeah. Oh no. I know. We got farmers up in Jay that are worried about that with their peanuts and all this. I mean, we've got lots of stuff to get to with that because the weather is actually a factor. But the shutdown is the big news. Now, you just clarify, because we've had some confusion even here in the studio. The Senate voted to advance past cloture. They haven't actually voted on any of the real measures yet, right? Or am I wrong?
No, so essentially they voted to end debate.
Right, okay.
So if you have, then they have to get 60 votes. So basically, if they can get 7 Democrats to come and say, hey, I'm done talking about this,
right,
then that basically says, all right, those same have said, all right, that means if I'm done talking, I'm ready to vote and move forward. So there's been lots of briefs that have been taking place between those 7 that have come forward that have said, let's go and do this. And like one of them is Tim Kaine. Tim Kaine from Virginia, you can imagine with as many federal employees he has in Virginia, especially outside the Beltway, how he has just been getting lit up by his constituents. So it's easy for the Tim Kaines of the world to come across over and get the thing open.
So over the course of the next several days, the Senate's going to actually vote. Then the House is going to take a look at the proposal and, you know, do whatever they do. And then, of course, if you guys pass it, then the president has to sign it. The key elements here are involving the agriculture bill, which would include SNAP, and I'm also assuming the payments to the farmers. Is that right?
Well, the ag bill, I don't know if it has that specific language in it. I would think it does just simply because it's an ag appropriations bill.
Right. The Farm Service Agency funding we're just talking to our friend Ryan Jenkins on Friday about this, that, you know, they're now a month in and still don't have money from that, which means that they're losing money every month because they can't pay off the mortgage, basically, that they've got the loans on it. So, you know, this is costing them interest every month that they don't get that, every day that they don't get that money. So it's painful for them. SNAP is going to be funded, military pay, military construction pay. What about the FAA and the traffic controllers? Is that also part of this?
Yeah, so, I mean, the thing, the budget that we were operating on under the government under September 30th is now going to be turned back on, and we're going to operate with that exact same budget till January the
30th. Got it, okay.
So all those dollars, the air traffic control, all those guys, they weren't looking for new money. Now, we did give them new money for construction and renovation of the air traffic control system. But basically, we're reauthorizing the budget to continue operating as it did pre-September 30th, and that will go till January. And then we've added the 3 new appropriations bills on top of it, which are, you know, in those particular subject area silos, you know, Capitol Police, Safety Security, Ag, includes SNAP benefits, MILCON, and Agriculture, which, you know, those are the ones that the House already pushed out. Those are the ones that typically are less controversial and have more bipartisan support.
And those are long-term deals, right? What, 3 years or something? Is that right?
I believe so. I each one of those bills is, as you have those authorization bills, they could be structured a difference. Like they want to do a surface authorization bill next year. That means roads and bridges. They haven't done one of those in years. So this is where they're getting back and revisit it, and then it'll be determined through the appropriation process how long it'll be for.
Gotcha. And the will in the House as far as Speaker and your caucus, I know you talked with WER about this last night, but the will of the House is that what the Senate passes, you guys are willing to pass, and then they're going to talk about health care, and I'm assuming you guys are probably not going to talk about health care, but that's on you, not on them, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've made a commitment to talk about health care, but, you know, I really like the Senator Scott proposal. That's Rick Scott, not Tim Scott. Rick Scott says fine, let's take the subsidy and let's give it to our beneficiaries in the form of a health savings account. So it's cash into a HSA account, and they spend it how they see fit, as opposed to making a direct line item subsidy directly to the health insurance companies. And you know, and then the consumer gets to have a little bit of a say in how they're going to spend their health care dollars, their money in the first place. So,
wouldn't most of them have to turn around and spend it on the marketplace anyway? I mean, if they're paying for health insurance and the marketplace is too expensive, as it will be if they don't have a subsidy or the expanded subsidy, it seems like it all goes to the same place in the end. What am I missing something?
Yeah, but now what's going to happen is that consumer is going to have a little more buying power at the point of purchase. So they may shop it around as opposed to the subs, you're already going to the insurance company saying, hey, these are the prices we're going to sell them to you for. Now the insurance company saying, so how can I get my price more attractive to be able to lure more of those eligible beneficiaries with the account and the subsidy to come do business with me?
Oh, okay. Well, so, I mean, for somebody like me then, if I'm not on the marketplace, perfect, would I get an HSA contribution? Because I buy from my employer, not from the marketplace.
Yeah, so, I don't, again, this is new territory for me. The subsidy would be provided back. So, that eligible population for those subsidies would be the eligible party. Now,
okay, so it's going to be income limited if you would have gotten the subsidy under Obamacare then.
Correct.
Okay.
It's definitely there's an income limit. Now I'm remembering now.
Okay,
there's
that makes sense.
There's an income limit and an age limit, how it breaks up. Yep.
Okay. All right. So no use to me, but still, that's I see where you're coming from. I'm not sure how much I think it matters, but, I'd rather have it in personal hands rather than, it's paid directly to the insurance companies. That makes sense to me. The jobs issue I want to get to with you. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas. Hang on for just a second, Jimmy. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents report to you. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, seeing about a 10 to 12 minute delay. And also Highway 29 southbound, south of 9 Mile Road, approaching I-10. That's about a 12 to 15 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jimmy Petronas. I don't understand this jobs thing. I don't. I don't understand paying people who were furloughed and didn't work. I don't understand mandatory rehiring of people who got fired. I don't get it. I get paying people who worked, air traffic controllers, military. Money goes for jobs. That's fine. But I don't. If you fire people, you fire people. Why are we obligated to take them back and pay them for all the work they didn't do?
I think that's part of one of the questions Trump asked out loud, and everybody went aghast. This was back, I think, during 2019, mm-hmm, where they had passed a guaranteed compensation for furloughed workers. I think part of the thought process is they were furloughed under no fault of their own. Why are they being punished? Because of an impasse in Congress. But I think this shutdown is definitely going to bring a lot of things to light, including what elements of government service did anybody notice weren't even there for their use. So, I hope we take this painful exercise and make a more efficient government after the fact. Unfortunately, we just got one vote majority in the House, and we still have the cloture rule of in the Senate. So yeah, it's just filibuster rule in the Senate. It's just tough. And that's why I get where the president was saying, just blow up the filibuster. Let's go fix some things.
It's an interesting note, too, though, that even though it might make sense to Republicans to allow the cuts or to allow the furloughs to not get paid, in order to get the Democrats 60 on board, you probably have to give on that. But also, this is part of the general environment around having a government job, is they took the job knowing that they were protected from not harm during a furlough and all that kind of stuff. So I want to see a better structure going forward. I hate to see the news talk about people getting furloughed and people getting fired, and then all of a sudden it's like it never happened. It's like wave your magic wand and we erase the past. That just seems weird to me. Anything else in this?
No, you're good.
Before we move on, anything else in this deal that you want people to know about? Because, I think it's been covered quite a bit, but I want to make sure, you're right there on the front line talking to folks. What else do we need to know?
Yeah, well, the people asking, so when do we see something happening? I think best case scenario, we will be back voting on Wednesday. The speaker has got a call with us at 10:30 this morning. We'll get our marching orders about where we need to be when, and then we will we'll get up to D.C. There's two different procedures. If we have a bunch of Democratic support in the House of Representatives, this thing could be a one and done, voted out on Wednesday. If the Democrats dig in and decide not to support it, then it'll be more prolonged. I think the hope is to bring this thing in for a landing before the November 15th pay cycle is eclipsed.
Okay, so paychecks should go on Saturday, as long as nobody holds it up in the meantime.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And like I said, the appropriations bills that we're seeing coming back from the Senate are already negotiated bills, so there shouldn't be any controversy with those appropriations bills, the ag bill, the military spending bill, and the security bill.
Gotcha. Okay, very good. I wanted to ask you this thing that President Trump said, what, yesterday, the day before, I forget, when he talks about giving out a $2,000 tariff dividend to anybody who doesn't earn too much money. He doesn't specify. If you do the math on that, we're talking about, and we don't know exactly who'd be eligible, but, you know, if there's 330 million people in the country, let's say, I don't know, it's 250 million. I don't know, but you run the math on that, and you're talking about $500 billion total, $500 billion. Now, it's great that we have all this money from tariffs, don't get me wrong, and that's been paid largely by Americans, of course. Look, I want $2,000 as much as anybody does, but I want to pay down the debt. You know, you got $500 billion, pay down the debt. Am I wrong?
I'm not sitting down with the president at that table, but if I'm looking at him and he has just extracted these dollars globally, brought them into the United States coffers, I think this is where his rationale is. If I'm going to be challenged in the courts and these dollars are going to be considered as gotten in a way that were outside of my bounds of powers,
right,
I think what the president said, okay, you know what, fine. You want to play it that way and you want to challenge me in court, I'm just going to send them to the American public before there's a court ruling. And then, you know what, good luck going and extracting those dollars back from the American public. Then at least, you know what, the argument is at least the citizens of the United States get to spend the money as opposed to the federal government. You know, I'd love to pay down the debt, too. It's hard to get these son of a guns in D.C. to want to get focused on doing. They love spending money. So I think the part of the solution the president's got is, all right, well, you know what, if you're not going to be disciplined about paying down the debt with it, then let's just go and just give the American public and we'll give a shot in the arm of the economy and help them with their inflation transition.
Well, by the way, I completely agree with you. This seems to me to be a response to the Supreme Court clearly indicating that they are going to strike down the justification. You know, they're going to say that these tariffs are not within the president's purview under the authority claimed under IEEPA. I think that's right. And that's what I thought, too. He's just trying to spend the money before the court tells him to take it back, and then the court can be the bad guys to try to grab it back from the American pockets. So,
1,000%.
Somebody who thinks that he doesn't have IEEPA authority doesn't love that way of doing business, but I do interpret it the same way that you interpret it. We had a vote in New York City, and I wanted to give you a chance to talk about it. You know, they elected Mamdani. They're going to get free everything if he can pull it off. What do you think this means, though? Is this just outside the establishment? Was it terrible choices with Cuomo as the alternative and Sliwa? Or is this a broader movement? I mean, is this emboldened the socialist wing of the Democrat Party?
No, I'd say what gets me so disgusted about all this, Andrew, is, I mean, the Democrats took these elections, and let's take our special election we have for Congressional District 1. There wasn't a lot of people super fired up about it because they're outside of an election season.
Right.
Elections have seasons. So what the Democrats did is, okay, let's take the government shutdown, which is creating a bunch of blood in the water and a bunch of national news, and let's apply it on top of the elections happen that are non-national cycle elections. So, you know, this was very selfish. This was a way to continue to rally their base, to put blood in the water, to get Democrats fired up about something and to come and show up. At the same time, they raised an enormous amount of money. Everything they did was selfishly motivated to control the agenda, and they kept the American public, especially our military, hostage for, you know, 50 days. It's just disgusting.
You know, the last thing I wanted to ask you about, it was kind of a, I don't know, it was just a silly topic. You and I were talking about this last week, but the speeding in Gulf Breeze thing, you know, you had told me that you were written a ticket for 6 over, and I had thought you meant on 98, which would have been 41 and a 35. Then Channel 3 goes and talks to Gulf Breeze police, and they say, well, no, he was doing 68 on the bridge. It was so he was written for 6 over, which would have been 51 and a 45. And you and I talked a lot about cops hiding, being in plain sight and all of this kind of stuff. And I think in principle, you and I very much agree about that. But, you know, the chief says he was in plain view. He was in the left-hand lane. It was going over the bridge. And more importantly, he wrote it down from a 68 to a 51. And if that was the case, I felt like the conversation you and I had about it wasn't It troubled me because I felt like you were describing it one way and then the facts were a little bit different. But I wanted to give you a chance to reply because obviously you've seen this has been a big local story. It's not the most important thing in the world, but we did talk about it. So comments, response?
Look, I was speeding. I paid my ticket. I did my driving school. My criticism is where it's been ever since I've been in public office is be in plain view. This in the state of Georgia, a law enforcement officer has to be within clear line of sight of over 500 feet in order to write a ticket for traffic citation. I love that. And that is not the case with how it's been operating in Gulf Breeze. This particular officer was over the crest of the bridge. If you're traveling westbound on Highway 98, there is a hump. It allows for navigational traffic to go underneath with higher and higher elevation.
Oh, you were going towards Pensacola? Wait, you were going towards Pensacola?
I was going towards Pensacola. Correct. Going towards Pensacola. So I wasn't even technically in Santa Rosa County. I was in Escambia County. But the law permits, I don't think it's anywhere else in the whole entire state, but the law permits Gulf Breeze to write outside of its jurisdictional boundaries on the Escambia County 3 mile bridge. So, you know, my criticism is if you're going to write tickets, be out in public. You have a greater effect over the overall respect of driving on a public roadway. And this was not the case. He was over the top of the hump. He was in the emergency lane, which I don't know why he needs to be parked in the emergency lane unless his car was broke down. But he was parked in the emergency lane out there shooting tickets. Go be at the top of the hump where everybody sees you if you want to park in the emergency lane with your functionally operating vehicle. So, I mean, look, I write tickets. If somebody's going to be blazing enough to speed right in front of you in broad daylight, write them all day long. I'm agreeable with that. But, you know, I think there's a much better good when you're visible, just like the laws are in Georgia, in order to keep everybody respecting law. Look, when I was a kid, you never ran a red light in Gulf Breeze, and you never sped through Gulf Breeze because of the challenges. You'd get your attention, mate.
Right.
Okay, real quick light. Okay, so, you know, was I speeding across the bridge? Sure. You know, it happens. You know, a lot of people do it. But, you know, I was doing it to the point where they needed to write me a citation. And you know what? It was my fault. I wrote the ticket. I have no problem doing that. But I do have the right to be able to have an opinion to say, go be visible. You know what? And I don't think there's probably anybody else that probably really hates that idea of them being more visible.
No, I appreciate that. You know, that actually clarifies because I had thought you were headed towards Gulf Breeze, which is why the cop being on the north side of the hump makes a difference in our conversation from last week about visibility and the Georgia law and everything else. So and I appreciate you clarifying that, and thank you for answering. I definitely appreciate that. All right, next Monday we'll talk to you again, and if there's anything breaking between now and then, obviously we'll keep in touch with you about the government shutdown. Jimmy Petronas, our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1, thanks for the time, sir. Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy. Take care.
You bet. John Pickens now with Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident free right now. And let's see here. If you're on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Pine Forest, expect about a 3 to 5 minute delay in that area. Other than that, traffic's basically calmed down. I'm not seeing anything else that's going to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:59 here on News Radio 92.3. David, you had a quick update you wanted to get to us?
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The stalemate is over in the Senate. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. After eight Democrats joined Republicans last night voting to end a filibuster that blocked government funding, causing the shutdown now on day 41. Senator Jean Shaheen among the eight and tells Fox,
"We're making sure that the people of America can get the food benefits that they need, that air traffic controllers can get paid, that federal workers are able to come back, the ones who were let go, that they get paid, that contractors get paid."
Other Democrats are upset. The funding bills that'll get votes this week to end the shutdown do not include an extension of Obamacare tax credits set to expire at year's end. But Shaheen says they did secure a vote on that.
"We are concerned about the health care costs rising significantly on millions of Americans."
House and Senate votes this week would reopen government funding it through January, would also fund SNAP food assistance through next September as the legal battle over that aid continues. A judge has blocked a Trump administration order that states to undo the steps they took to pay for food benefits. Air travel remains difficult.
Sunday was the worst flying day in this country since the shutdown began. A nightmare combination, really, of FAA-mandated flight reductions plus air traffic controller staffing shortages around the country. Here in Newark, for instance, you had a third of the flights that were canceled. You're talking about half of the flights delayed.
Fox's Brian Yenis. The Newark, New Jersey airport, another 1,600 flights canceled today for 1,400 delays. Some of that weather-related snow in the Chicago area to northern Michigan. We heard from the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, this morning, taking out two more suspected drug boats off the South American coast.
Secretary Hegseth, in a post on X, says the vessels hit were operated by designated terrorist organizations associated with illicit narcotic smuggling and had drugs on board. He says the strikes were in international waters in the eastern Pacific and that all six people on board the boats, three on each, were killed. That's now 76 people reported killed in airstrikes since this anti-narcotics campaign started September 2nd.
Fox's Chris Foster. America's listening to Fox News.
This month, Pure Talk is supporting Canines for Warriors, a terrific organization that trains rescue dogs and then pairs them up with combat vets struggling with PTSD. This is why I switched to Pure Talk. Sure, I like the unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data for just $25 a month, and you will too. But you will love being in business with a company that shares your values. Dial pound 250, say micro, and switch to an American wireless company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun.